Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, the Song of Moses that was sung at the Red Sea, will be sung again by the Tribulation Saints in their victory over Antichrist. Did you know that at the crossing of the Hebrews at the Red Sea with Moses, which happened historically, it is also a type of what will be fulfilled prophetically by the Jews and the two witnesses in the time of Jacob's trouble? It's true. All those events recorded back in Exodus point to a future time when God will once again keep his chosen people safe from the onslaught of Antichrist. It's exciting stuff. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. We're looking primarily at the Song of Moses first seen in the Old Testament at the Red Sea, and also seen in Revelation 15 when the Tribulation Saints get the victory over Antichrist during the time of Jacob's trouble. We see the first song recorded in the Bible with the Song of Moses, the first dancing recorded in the Bible with Miriam. And in doing so, understand just a little about the nature of what worship music and praise dancing should look like. Moses prophesying to Pharaoh was a type of the two witnesses facing Antichrist in Revelation, and Moses is also one of the two witnesses. He is a type of himself. Now tell me that doesn't blow your mind. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we journey back in time to the Red Sea. We journey forward in time to the Second Advent, and in doing so, unlock some mighty mysteries nestled inside your King James 1611 Authorized Version Holy Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for waking us up today. We thank you for the food on the table, the clothes on our back, and the roof over our head. We thank you, God, for saving us and giving us a job to do. And Lord, we ask you to meet with us once again by way of radio, through your Holy Spirit, as we open up your preserved word to see what you would have for us to study tonight. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Lord, we just ask you to meet with us and lead us and guide us into all truth. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Good to see the chat room filling up and people logging on from all over. Exciting Bible study tonight. We are going to talk about the Song of Moses. And this is a song that we see when the Hebrews crossed the Red Sea, and we see it again in Revelation chapter 15. Turn to Revelation chapter 15 for just a moment. Revelation 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over his number, the number of his names, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And Revelation 15, verse 3 says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. We're going to look tonight at the Song of Moses from Exodus chapter 15, and we're going to look in Revelation chapter 15 to see the similarities between the Jews battling Antichrist in the Great Tribulation and the Hebrew children crossing the Red Sea to get rid of that horrible type of Antichrist that we call Pharaoh. And it's going to be a fun ride through the Bible tonight, and we're going to look at a whole lot of cross references. So make sure you have your tea, your coffee, your open Bible, and you are all set and ready to go. So very glad that you have decided to join us tonight. We are not a church, we are the church. Welcome to church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us, it's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you.
Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love, our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church.
Yeah! know I've been sealed till the day of redemption. And one day Jesus will come and he'll take me away. And forever I'll be in a beautiful mansion. And I'm gonna live with the saints in glorious. You know, I feel like saying that again tonight, church.
I've been sealed till the day of
Earlier this morning, around 5 a.m. Israel time, the Israeli IDF launched a precise and pinpoint preemptive strike on the Hezbollah terror group in the nation of Lebanon. Hezbollah terror leader Hassan Nasrallah has talked very tough against Israel for quite some time. And indeed, the cache of missiles they possess are nothing to sneeze at. But when they returned fire against Israel this morning, it was underwhelming to say the least. The Jerusalem Post reported that the relatively low-key impact and damage of the attack sparked a wave of online comments from users around the Arab world mocking Hezbollah for its actions and focusing especially on reports of, quote, damaged chicken pens in the Galilee region, end quote. And I'm sure you've heard the news by now. Israel launched a preemptive strike against Hezbollah, not waiting for them to attack. They attacked, and Hezbollah fired back with about 230 rockets and missiles, but they really didn't do hardly any damage at all. And so what we are going to see in the coming days, we are going to see just exactly how much of what Hezbollah says is true and how much is blustery propaganda. Israel had a very, very bold move today, a preemptive strike. They don't do that a whole lot. Well, they did it today, and they hit Hezbollah really, really hard, and Hezbollah did not fire back in any strong way, shape, or form. So we're going to be keeping an eye on this gathering storm in the Middle East, and we're going to see what the Iranian terror proxy Hezbollah, what they're really capable of doing. But it was exciting to see Israel hitting them hard today. They need to do more of that. They need to do preemptive strikes. They need to let the Middle East know that there is a price to pay when you attack God's chosen people, the Jews, and you come against His holy land of Israel.
Shema.
Streets that are gold.
In just a few minutes, we're going to go into our time of prayer and praise. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post it into the chat room, and we'll be happy to lift it up as a church family. Also, if you listen to these broadcasts on Spreaker or iTunes or Spotify, and you've always wanted to join us in the chat room, when we're broadcasting live, simply go to ntebradio.com. That's ntebradio.com, and you will be with us in the chat room. And we'll be right back after this.
The preacher got up and said, "Stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone." But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. "I need to know before we pray." An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share, a need in your life? Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand. When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request. Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share, a need in your life? Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request.
Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're glad and we're grateful for our salvation. And tonight, Lord, we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price. Jessica Trent says, please pray for my husband, Jesse, and for my brother and sister-in-law, Patrick and Katie. Kimberly McClintock, please pray for my two adult daughters, E and J. Shayla Clark's husband, Glenn. In Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, and two great-grandbabies. Trista, Tara, Ted, Shauna, and George, Trevor, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier and their families, John, my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, daughter Christy, and niece Melissa, and sister-in-law Dale, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad Ralph, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck, in the Weirs-Bickey family, daughters Valerie and Marie, husband and son Greg Sr. and Greg Jr. Jeffrey's children, Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law Caitlin, and grandsons Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. People with unsaved family members, Connie, Jeanette and Bob, the Bolton family, Lulu, Joe Russiello, Deborah Hare, Rita, Teresa, Roz, the Breida family, Sandra C., Marky Mark, Rachel K., Rapture 57, Kenny B., Chona, Carly Hamill, Marisol Barcina, Annabal, Terry, and Bonnie. Rita in Colorado praying for her son Dan to get saved. Ron needs to be saved. Spray of Sunshine sons Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M. David Lacker for salvation. Barbara praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer praying for her best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks, to get saved. Cheyenne praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Beth, Ethan, and Haley. Karen's children, Jason and Tiffany, and grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody. Mark Sherlock praying for Savannah and mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes for his friends Bob and Abby. Junie and her dad. Kathy Hughes' son. Miles and his family. Many unsaved members of the Giacomino family. Dawn D. Paul Caulfield is praying for brother-in-law Frank. Ramona Hayes for her daughter Kimberly to get saved and sober. and for grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda, for salvation. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron, Chelsea P., for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, her husband, and friend, Mike. Adam's wife, Shanna, Lori B., Shira McPherson, praying for children, Scott, Sherry, and Nicole, as well as Kevin, Michelle, Lewis, and Joshua Blake. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin, Mark Fennell, Kevin Thompson, for his dad, Tim, Elga. Rob is praying for his three kids, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Phyllis T., for her husband, Brian A. Robbins, a retired U.S. Navy SEAL, Todd Broom's brother Thad, Marie's friends' family, Ashley Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy, Adam and Katie asking prayer for parents, sisters, brother-in-law, nieces, and nephews, Ellen, salvation prayer for grandsons Braden and Logan. His Grace is praying for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason and Rachel, and Jason and Carrie. Lola's son William and wife Lindsay, Hannah's mom. Anja, praying for Hanu, John Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans for his friend Taylor. Viviana for her brother Javier Reyes. Adam and Katie for their neighbors, Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Jane for her son Troy, Julie Lynn for her friend Katie Ann, Chuck Edgerton for his son Jacob and mom Lynette, Lisa praying for her father John, Deborah Milton's son Billy, Hap Nightingale praying for his sons Jimmy and Zach, Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia need to be saved, Norman Merkel praying for his daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, son-in-law Stephen, and the child's mother, Lynette Crew. Henrique Larson for his parents, Kygel and Elizabeth, sister and spouse, Ingrid and Frederick, and his mom's aunt, Barrett. Brian, Andrew Whittington, Gail is praying for Jim, Shirley Meador for her brother and his wife, Eric Brian Huey, salvation prayer for his parents, Anna and Norillo, members of his family, and co-workers. Regina Danner for Kellyanne, Richard Wayne, and Sandra. Carol from Georgia for her sister, cousins, and Aunt Joey. Stacy Bunton for her husband, Rachel Adams. For Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mikey, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley for salvation and sobriety. Mark for his children, Michael, Michelle, Mason, and Michaela. Mitch for his daughters, Rachel and Hannah, and their husbands. Delivery workers who service the bookstore. Jericho for his family. Brenda's husband, Paul. Amanda praying for Melanie and Peyton. The Mudo family for salvation. Xavier for his mom, Reyes, wife, Salma, daughters, Clara and Lulu. Maria Silva for her Jehovah's Witness family in Venezuela. Donna Lynn's children, Shannon, Todd, Kaylin, and Jake. Tiffany Brown for her mother-in-law, Dave Evans for Diana. Sue Duchesne's son, Norman. CJ's mom. Loretta Watsney's husband and children, Rebecca Lynn for Joel Smith. Shirley praying for Marie, Haley, Patricia, Jaden, Richard, Patricia S., Joshua, Ruby, Gerald, Josiah, Moniz, and her husband Hamid and his family. Mary Ann Ellie's children, John Ann Marie and Christine, grandkids, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Tracy and Ralph Wallace for son-in-law Ethan, daughter Shanna, and grandson Caden. Beth Peck's husband, children Heather and Damien, and in-laws, Barb and Jack. Terry Ewing's daughter, Bryn. Teresa M's sons, James, Frank, and Peter. Jose De La Rosa's mom, Alicia. Patricia T for her son, Adam. Chelsea and Brian Plagman for their son, Bryce, and girlfriend, Eva. Steph for her brother, Michael. Cassandra for husband, Todd, and for sons, Nathan, Andrew, and Sonny. Marie Sim for her ex-husband. Salvation prayer for her son John, daughter Tracy, and their families. Jean-Paul Mesa for his Catholic mother, Deborah Mack for John and Brenda, Zach Jeffson's mother and uncle, Katrina, Mia in Texas for children, Kimberly, Danielle, and AJ, Holly for husband Nick, Rob for friend Eddie, Deborah Mack for John and Brenda, Brandy, and husband Evan, Shar for her mom, Linda for Richard Kitzmiller, Heather for daughter Sophia, Angela Moffitt for son Matthew, Brooke for best friend Courtney and her husband James, Veronica Corrick for younger son Gustav, Deborah Mack's sister-in-law Lisa, and nephews Kale and Dane. Corinne for son-in-law Zach, Rob for Chris and Patty, Soda Man for brother-in-law Paul, Rob Beattie's neighbor who he witnessed to until he went home, TJ, Shaylin, please pray for my children, Chelsea, Tori, Chris, and Lee. Stephanie, she needs to get saved, and so does her children, Blakely, Harper, and Addie. And Christy Ireland, please add my sister Ashley, husband David, and their children, Gabriella, Stephen, and Samuel, as well as my sister Chelsea and her fiancé Kyle. People who need a healing today. Pastor James Knox is battling prostate cancer. Mark Seals, he reached out earlier today. His wife Paula and son Jacob have COVID. Nihal Pereira asking prayer for wife Chandrika, suffering from stage 4 cancer. Lulu, sister's friend Charlene has liver cancer and is not saved. Sandy, having a problem with blood flow to the shoulders, getting a CAT scan on Tuesday, and please pray for the doctors to have a lot of wisdom. Jen, for God to lift my grief, for salvation for my family, and for reconciliation with my daughter. Heather, Lyme disease and rheumatoid arthritis. Amanda Ward, battling cervical cancer, and we're praying for her and husband Jeff. Amber, for a complete healing, peace, and sobriety. Angela, please pray for sister-in-law Gail with stage 4 kidney disease on dialysis, and for my brother Larry to get saved. Linda's sister Mary Ann, Asher's mother. Kevin Thompson, he is in a mold poisoning lawsuit and asking for God's favor. Stephanie, please pray for husband Andy's battle with alcohol and to get saved. People battling various forms of cancer today. Michelle Christian, Krista, and Amanda Emol. James Rivette for recovery from addiction and mental health issues, looking for work. George H., health issues. Annetta needs a complete healing after having a stroke. Katie needs a liver transplant. Robert Wiley, battling ALS disease. We're praying for him and his wife, Lisa. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp is battling autism. Dan Kane's wife, Roxy, has MS, and please pray for son, Jonathan. Rob's friend, Mike, has MS. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter, Michelle, has neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Melissa B's husband, Brian, stage 3 kidney. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for eyesight and prayers for daughter, Norcha. Jane, please pray for the salvation of my parents and brother and for a healing for my husband. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has vasculitis. Casey's husband is an unsaved and severe alcoholic. Kathy Heal's husband Robert and Aunt Linda have macular degeneration, as does Teresa G. Wayne has cancer and needs to get saved. Linda Benjamin, overall health and memory problems, and Berta and Mike Crabb are having health issues and need a healing. Ladies who are expecting today, CJ's daughter-in-law, Emily, expecting in December. Deborah Mack's friend, Gwen. We don't know when she's expecting. Deborah, if you're listening, please reach out and let us know. Lauren, expecting in December. Lindsay White, that's Lola W's daughter-in-law, March of 2025. And Kevin Thompson, my wife Kylie and I are expecting a child, February of 2025. Mark Saxa would like prayer for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Martha Roy would like prayer. She needs to get a car. John Walker and his wife for their gospel tract distribution ministry. Deborah Mack is praying for Devin Miller. Lost Lake Lass, my son Tristan needs prayer. And Linda LaPiana, please pray for children Stephen, Danielle, and Christopher. People with an unspoken, Dave M., Jan Lacker, Jeanette, Derek O'Reilly, Adrian Breda, Debbie Mathias, Julius, Dave Evans, Ricky Gouda, Jennifer, Carol from Georgia, Ron M., Bonnie, Marie Comfort, Rob, Steph, Marie C., Angela, Brooke, Lulu, Linda Pippin, Andrew, Lorianne, Blaine, and Lola W. Please remember our free gospel and our free Bible and gospel tract program, and I have an update on that in just a little bit. Also, please keep our overseas pastors in your prayers. In the Philippines, Pastors John Redani and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Pho John. In India, David Mark. In the UK, Stephen McCarroll. In Uganda, Irad Byru Mumishu. And in Spain, we have Xavier. Please pray for Ted Horton from Prison Ministries International. They would like the Lord to open the door to getting more Bibles out. Please remember our NTEB street preachers up in New York City, Brian Kelly. In Baton Rouge, Kyle and Reagan Gorzel. In Philadelphia, we have street preacher Marie. Mike Avram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. Jay preaches to the LGBTQ in New York. Joe Rusiello in Eagle Pass, Joshua Gaskins, Gospel Tract Ministry in Virginia. Aaron and Teresa McMahon of CPR Missions from Tennessee. Chaplain Steve Harrington from Stillwell, Oklahoma. And Brother Roy Bell from Las Vegas, Nevada. Up in Canada, Adrian Breda, Werner Bukes. In South Africa, Arthur Uwies. And in Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. Let's go to the chat room and see what we have tonight. Juanita, please pray for Darian's health. Linda, prayer request for Leslie. She's having really high blood pressure problems. Heath, please keep me in your prayers. It's been rough lately. Logan Grope, dealing with a lot of medical issues and a lot of mental health issues. Would appreciate your prayers. Jimmy Hudson, a church member's father passed away today while he was at church. Well, I can't think of a better place to go home. Please pray for Steve Schofield and his family. Jen, please pray for my friend Jennifer, who needs to get her fifth grade daughter out of a dangerous school and into the right school. Juanita, unsaved family members. Kimmy D, unspoken, the Lord knows the need. Andrew, unspoken. Jen, with a praise report. God answered and unspoken, led me to a Zoom weekly and almost daily fellowshipping King James Bible studying group of Christian in the right doctrines that is rare these days. It sure is, and praise the Lord for that. Heavenly Father, for all of these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, we commit all this to you. We ask you to work and move, Lord. If you don't do it, It's not going to get done. If you don't give it to us, we're not going to have it. Davy Boy says, please pray for my friend Jackie Kai. And Lord, we just ask you to work and move, order and reorder every one of these prayers, every step of every person's life. And we ask you to do it, God, for your glory, for our good. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, open up your Bibles, please. Open up your Bibles. We're going to take a look tonight at something called the Song of Moses. And let's set the table for tonight's Bible study about the Song of Moses. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And let's read the first six verses. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. You know, it says in the book of Daniel that when the Antichrist comes, he does as his fathers did not do. The Antichrist is partially Jewish. Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. That is a tough concept for some people to grasp. The idea that the Lord is a man of war and the Lord is his name. You know what the Bible says when Jesus appeared to Joshua? You know what the Bible calls him? The Bible calls him the captain of the host of the Lord, Joshua 5:14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And so in the book of Joshua, we see that Jesus is a captain. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says this, verse 3, 2 Timothy 2, 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, which 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Go back to Exodus chapter 15. The Bible says in verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom like as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And so as we set the table for tonight's Bible study, we see that there are a lot of similarities between Exodus chapter 15 and the book of Revelation. There is a whole lot of similarities between Exodus chapter 15 and the book of Revelation. Let's go back to Exodus 15:1. Exodus 15:1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now turn to Revelation chapter 15. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, same chapter number as Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. Revelation 15:1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And look at what they're doing in Revelation 15. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So they are singing the song of Moses from Exodus chapter 15, and they're adding to it the song of the Lamb. Moses represents the law. Jesus represents faith. You know what they have in the time of Jacob's trouble? They have faith plus works. And so in Revelation 15:3, they are singing the song of Moses from Exodus 15, but they are adding to it the song of the Lamb. Now, look at Revelation 14:12. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. That's the law. That's Moses. And the faith of Jesus. That's the song of the Lamb. Faith plus works. Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, works and faith, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Turn to Revelation chapter, go back to 14. Somebody was asking a question the other day about the everlasting gospel. Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. This is not Peter's gospel. This is not Paul's gospel. Having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, and here is the everlasting gospel: fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Revelation 15:3 says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true art thy ways, thou King of saints. So we have set the table tonight for our look at the song of Moses, Old Testament and New Testament, and we're going to see how all these things tie in together. We're also going to look at the place of worship music and dancing before the Lord, and exactly what all those things actually mean from a biblical perspective. We're so glad that you're with us tonight for Bible study. We'll be back right after this.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yeah! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah!
Amen. That's my king. I hope he's your king as well. We are back for hour two of tonight's Bible study, looking at the Song of Moses. Just a quick announcement, reminding you that on Friday, September 13th, David Daniels from Chick Gospel Tract Publications in California is going to be flying out to come spend the weekend with us. We're having a mini camp meeting weekend at Bethany Baptist Church in St. Augustine, Florida. And if you would like to come and listen to David Daniels from Chick Publications give a very powerful and stirring message on the supremacy of the King James Bible, you are invited to come join us Friday, September 13th at Bethany Baptist Church on County Road 208 in St. Augustine, Florida. And we're calling it the Mini Camp Meeting Weekend. On Friday night, we have David Daniels from Chick Publications. We have Pastor Joel Tillis and his entire Soul Trap team, and a whole bunch of other people besides. We have on Saturday, Dr. Bill Grady is going to be coming out. Aaron, Teresa, and Destiny McMahon from CPR Missions in Tennessee. They're coming out to spend the whole weekend with us. And we have the grand reopening of the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore in beautiful downtown Palatka, Florida. Mark your calendars. September 13th, 14th, and 15th, mini camp meeting weekend at Bethany Baptist Church in St. Augustine, Florida. Let us know if you're coming. Send us an email, and we look forward to seeing you and fellowshipping with you. We're expecting a good crowd of people. A lot of people have said that they're going to be coming, and you are invited to come and fellowship with us. Heath says it looks like Bethany Baptist has a backwoods feel to it. It certainly does. It's in the backwoods. We're in the country. We're in the real country. And it's a great church. It's a great group of people. And the Lord is blessing us richly and mightily. Jimmy Hudson says, I want to go. If you want to go, just shoot us an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com and let us know you're coming. It's going to be a great weekend. If you can't make it, please pray for this weekend. But we are not waiting an entire year to do camp meetings. Now that we have a church and we have property and we have a place to do it, and we can do it for almost no money at all. And it's such a blessing what the Lord is providing. And if you'd like to come and be a part of it, Cephas says, will there be bagels? Well, just for you, there will be bagels. September 13th, 14th, and 15th. Charlie on the Highway says, Deb and I will be there. And we're hoping that some members of our NTEB North Georgia crew, Dana Bragdon and those guys, that they'll be coming. So September 13th, 14th, and 15th at Bethany Baptist Church in St. Augustine, Florida. All right, let's get back to our Bible study tonight, Exodus chapter 15. If you're tuning in, we are talking about the Song of Moses. Exodus 15, 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. You know who that's talking about? Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Exodus 15:1 says, For he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Revelation 6 verse 1 says, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2 shows you the Antichrist, the counterfeit Messiah. He has a bow but no arrows. He only has one crown, and he has a copycat white horse. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Exodus 15:1 says, For he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. That is a direct reference to Antichrist. Verse 2 of Exodus 15, The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. So let's just stop right there for a moment. Moses says in verse 2, The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. Now, I'm going to give you just a couple of the references in the Bible with the word sing. If you have a song, if you want to do a song, you have to sing. Judges 5:3. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. 2 Samuel 22:50. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. 1 Chronicles 16:9. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. And I'll give you one more. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth day to day his salvation. Now, go back to Exodus chapter 15. Moses says in verse 2, The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Do you realize that this is the very first song ever recorded in human history? Before these words were written, there were no songs recorded. This is the first example of a song that is written and sung to God in the history of the world, and it is the song of Moses. So, when we think about worship music and what type of songs that we should be playing and hearing in a church setting, if you are going to worship God, it has to be the type of music that is decent, that is in order, that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, mentions the name of the Lord multiple times. And over the past 20 or 30 years, we have seen an unbelievable amount of garbage that is called worship music. And it is nothing at all like worship music in the Bible. At our bookstore, we sell a book written by Spencer Smith called Calling Evil Good, The Lie of Christian Rock and Roll. And if you've never gotten a copy of this book, please go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the link and pick up a copy of this book by Spencer Smith called Calling Evil Good, The Lie of Christian Rock and Roll. And this book will be a blessing to you, and it will be a blessing for you. Worship music should look like and sound like the Song of Moses. From the perspective is that it is completely focused on the Lord. It's not focused on Moses at all. One of the reasons why we, as Baptists, gravitate towards the old hymns, Saved by the Blood, Blessed Assurance, At the Cross, and so many other great hymns of the faith. You know why these songs are so powerful and why they have endured for so long? Because every single one of these old hymns are actually Bible messages set to music that glorify God and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are very much in line with what we're reading about in Exodus chapter 15. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation. You know what really bothers me? When you hear these modern songs that they play at church, and they'll go on for 2, 3, 4 minutes at a time, and they'll never mention the name Jesus Christ. Why is that? I think you know why that is. We are living in the lukewarm Laodicean age. Those songs have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And so if you're going to have Christian worship music, you might want to spend some time in Exodus chapter 15 and Deuteronomy chapter 31 and 32. Moses starts his visible earthly ministry with the Song of Moses, and he ends his visible earthly ministry with another song. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and look at the end of the ministry of Moses. Let's start reading in verse 14. Deuteronomy 31, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. So what's happening here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, it is the end of the visible earthly ministry of Moses. Now, he's going to come back as one of the two witnesses. He is definitely going to come back as one of the two witnesses. And isn't it a mind-blowing thing that Moses in the Old Testament is operating as a type of one of the two witnesses, and Moses himself comes back as one of the two witnesses? That means that Moses is a type of himself. And if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. Anna is asking, what do you think of rap Christian music? I know some people who listen to it, and I was just wondering what you think. 95% of it, I do not like. There are a couple of rap-influenced songs. I'm thinking of a singer by the name of Jimmy Needham, N-E-E-D-H-A-M. He has a couple of songs that I have heard over the years that have stuck with me that I like. Jimmy Hudson just said, Christian rap is C-dash rap. And I would have to agree with that statement. There are a couple of exceptions. But as a general rule, I am not a fan of Christian rap. Deuteronomy chapter 31. God tells Moses in verse 14, Behold, the days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, and I will give him a charge. Now, Moses is about to pass the torch to Joshua. And look down in verse 19, and I'll show you how he passes that torch. Deuteronomy 31:19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Now, why would God want Moses to write and sing a song as a witness of God against the children of Israel? Well, verses 20 and 21 explain why. Deuteronomy 31:20. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat. This is what prosperity does. Then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses, in verse 22, therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. What is the purpose of this song? God says in verse 21, And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. Now, it's no coincidence that the first people after Adam and Eve who made musical instruments anywhere in the world were the descendants of Cain, who was the first murderer. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. Music is a very, very powerful force. I was a music teacher for many, many years. I have been playing musical instruments for the past 54 years, I have been playing some sort of a musical instrument for over half of a century. I understand a little bit about music. Ezekiel 28. Music is a very powerful force. It is not neutral. It is never neutral. Music always inspires you, compels you, leads you to do something. Ezekiel chapter 28, talking about Lucifer. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, verse 12, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Turn to Job chapter 38. You know who Lucifer was? He was the leader of the first earth, and he was the song leader for the sons of God. Look at Job chapter 38, verse 6. Job 38, 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who is the song leader? It's the person who has the pipes and tabrets built into his body. That's who the song leader is. It's Lucifer. Music is never neutral. Music is never neutral. Heath is saying that he heard a preacher say that Joshua was not saved. I don't know what type of preacher would say that. Joshua is a type of Christ. Joshua and the name Jesus come from the same root Hebrew word. Joshua was absolutely patiently waiting in Abraham's bosom when Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But here's a little bit of information that a lot of Christians don't consider. From a salvation perspective, nobody in the Old Testament was saved. And the reason why I say that is because the people who died in faith, doing what God called them to do, went to Abraham's bosom. Nobody went to heaven before Jesus Christ shed his blood. Now, you might say, well, wait a second. Elijah went up to heaven. Enoch went up to heaven. Well, they did, but they were translated on their way up. They were changed in order to be received up into heaven. They did not retain the same form. How do I know that? Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So there are exceptions in the Old Testament, but anybody who was taken up, was translated, was changed. They did not go into heaven the same way they were brought up. And that word translate, that is talking about a complete change in that person. And why does God allow that? Why does God do that? Because he's trying to show you what the rapture looks like. He's trying to show you different types and figures. The body of Moses was never found. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, but Moses is coming back and he's going to die again. Elijah is coming back and he's going to die again. Judas is coming back and he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. So there you have it. And with that, we have to take our last break of the night. We'll be right back after this. And we're going to take some of your questions about the topic that we're talking about tonight, the Song of Moses. We'll be right back after this.
The singers are tired. The church as we know it is losing its fire, and some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on, 'cause it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. It would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. So preachers, keep preaching, and singers, go sing, and laymen, keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause it's just one more soul we're to walk down the aisle. It would be worth every struggle.
Back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study on the Song of Moses. And before we continue, just a quick update on the Bibles Behind Bars program. Over the years, we have sent Bibles to Chaplain Hazelwood, who is in charge of 102 different institutions in the Texas penal system. And we have sent a lot of Bibles to him in the past. He reached out last week and says he has an urgent need for another 500 King James Bibles. On a regular basis, we receive emails from chaplains and personal workers and street preachers who desperately need good quality King James Bibles. The inmates are so very hungry to receive the Word of God in their cells, and every one of the thousands and thousands of Bibles that we send out are a literal lifeline for these inmates. To date, we have heard of just under 500 souls saved behind the bars in jails and prisons who were ministered to through the Bibles Behind Bars program. On top of that, I am quite certain there are hundreds more besides that. Christian, I just want to remind you that we are not here to preach politics. We are not here to make America great again. We are called to be witnesses, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day according to the Scriptures. I am not nearly as concerned who will be the next president of the United States as I am in finishing our course which the Lord has given us. God has given us this incredible, massive, open door. And so far, in the last 3 years, we have sent out completely for free 350,000 Bibles, New Testaments, Scripture portions, and Gospel tracts. All of that made possible because you pray for this program, for this ministry, and you financially support us. If God has prospered you, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and click on the donate link and help us to have the resources that we need. Paper is expensive. Shipping is expensive. Bibles and gospel tracts and scripture portions have all gone up about 30%. But God has given us this amazing open door. Almost 500 souls have gotten saved through this program. 350,000 pieces of Bible literature. It blows my mind, to be perfectly honest. Pray for us, join us, and if God has prospered you, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com, click on the donate link, and help us to send out Bibles, New Testaments, scripture portions, and gospel tracts to inmates, young and old, male and female, in jails, prisons, and detention centers all across the United States of America. Thank you, as always. All right, let's get back to tonight's Bible study. We're looking at the Song of Moses from Exodus chapter 15. Now, right before the break, I showed you in Deuteronomy chapter 31. In fact, go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we'll see how this song gets played out. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Deuteronomy 32:3 says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, he is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. These are the words of the outgoing final song of Moses. And once again, he is publishing the name of the Lord, verse 3, ascribing greatness to our God. Verse 4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, all his ways are judgment, he is a God of truth. If you're going to have worship music in your church, your worship music has to publish the name of the Lord. It has to ascribe greatness to our God. It has to talk about the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Has to talk about his ways, his works, the fact that he is a God of truth. What does Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus Christ is. And if you're going to have worship music in your church, you better have the type of music that ascribes greatness to God. Look down in verse 42 and 43. Deuteronomy 42 and 43. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and be merciful unto his land and to his people. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy 32 and turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Look down in verse 9, Revelation 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Deuteronomy 32:43, Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Turn to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and of the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. But look at verse 2 in Revelation 15. Revelation 15, 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. In Exodus chapter 15, Moses leads them through the Red Sea, which is parted with a wall of water on either side, and they go over on dry ground. In Revelation 15, verse 2, you have a sea of glass. I would imagine that if you could be back in Exodus chapter 15, and if you were to look at those two walls of water, they would have looked like frozen glass. Now, why do I say frozen glass? Turn to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. You know what the Bible says about the face of the deep? The Bible says that the face of the deep is frozen. Job 38:30. The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. If you would have been there with Moses and the Hebrew children, looking at those two walls of water, it would have looked like frozen glass. In Revelation 15:2, John says, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, this is Antichrist, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. You want to see how they got the victory? You're not going to like it, but I'll show you. Revelation 20, verse 4. This is how they got the victory. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now go back to Revelation chapter 15. You see the context? And they sing the song of Moses. In what capacity are they singing the song of Moses? They are singing it in heaven after they were killed on earth for refusing to worship Antichrist, to worship his image, to worship his mark, or to worship the number of his name. They said no to all of it. They didn't value their own life. They said no to all of it. Jesus says, Whosoever seeks to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose it for my sake shall find it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then look all the way down at the bottom of Hebrews 11. And look at verse 32. Hebrews 11, 32. Paul says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." Paul says that he said that the apostles were the offscouring of the world. And he was right. And when he says, "Come follow me," that's what you're following. Hebrews 11:38, "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the rocks of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." Do you realize that in the church age, you are saved by grace through faith? And you couldn't lose your salvation if you tried. Don't try to lose it. Try to walk as rightly and as straightly and as close with the Lord as you possibly can. But you can't lose your salvation, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter what you think. But after the church age is over and we've been removed in the rapture, the tribulation saints will not be sealed unto the day of redemption. They will be saved by faith in Jesus Christ and kept saved by their works. Jesus says in Matthew 24, "And he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." So we're looking tonight at the Song of Moses, first sung in Exodus chapter 15. He has another song in Deuteronomy 31 and 32. He begins and ends his earthly ministry with a song. And the tribulation saints in Revelation chapter 15, they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. They have faith. They have works. They have endured until the end. It's good stuff. That's really good stuff. If you have any questions about what we have been talking about tonight, please post that into the chat room, and I'll be happy to take a shot at answering those questions. But when you look at the worship music in your church, when you look at what they call praise dancing, and you mostly see that stuff in charismatic and non-denominational churches, where they get up and they dance before the Lord. And I have seen some videos of that, and it is absolutely, unbelievably crazy. And none of that, you can tell within 5 seconds of hearing a song, within 3 seconds of watching somebody dance, you can tell if somebody is singing and dancing for the Lord or they're doing it to the flesh, for the flesh, and in the flesh. Jimmy Hudson says you can be saved unto the day of sealed unto the day of redemption, but you can still grieve the Holy Spirit by sinning. That's absolutely right, and we need to keep short accounts with the Lord. When you sin, and we all do, but when you sin, you got to get that under the blood. You got to get that right with the Lord. And you got to repent of it, you got to forsake it, and do your best not to take it back off the altar. And that's what we need to do as Christians living in the church age. We can absolutely still grieve the Holy Spirit through sin. But as far as your salvation goes, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. And I don't see any questions in the chat room, and my voice, as you can tell, is starting to fail on me. So if there's no other questions about tonight's Bible study, I think we're going to wrap it up. And Lord willing, we're going to see you back here tomorrow. Oh, had a prayer request. I forgot to put it on the list. Please pray for Wes and his wife, Debbie. Please pray for Wes and his wife, Debbie. The Lord knows the need. Please put Wes and his wife, Debbie, on your prayer list. That it's kind of an unspoken prayer, but please just pray that God would work within that situation and help her and help him. It's nothing bad, but it's a health-related thing. So please pray for Wes and Debbie. And with that, we have come to the end of our time for tonight. I thank you so much for being a part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern time for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
And do it now, because the rapture will come and Christ will return. It says in the Bible that he will come as a thief in the night.
I wish we'd all been ready, children. of bread, goodbye a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone.
You have been so blind. The Father spoke, the demons dined. The Son has come and you behind.